Outro.
Good morning. Apparently, you had a great time last night. This is probably the reason why people are drifting in a little later than scheduled, but anyhow, we're ready to begin. Let me give the floor now to Marina Brákalová. She is going to moderate the first session, and she is going to talk about local action groups.
Ние имаме привилегията да започнем рано сутрин, когато всички са свежи, и да говорим за местни инициативни групи и подхода лидер, които за всички нас тук и предполагам за вас в залата са едно от най-вдъхновяващите и важни елементи. Марина Бракалова се казвам и последните 3-4 години, с изключение на последните 6 месеца, доста активно се занимавах с подготовка и прилагане на подхода лидер в територии в България, които са потенциални местни инициативни групи, готвиха се да кандидатстват за такива. И за това имам честа да бъда сред вас днес. Лидер и местните инициативни групи като инструмент за прилагането му са от съществено значение и ще бъдат от все по-съществено значение за следващите програмни.
Of the leader group are going to be very important. They're going to be very active from now on. They are the foundation for implementing the rest of the EU policies. We are here to talk about the experience of four countries which are very different, and they're different in their background, their history. We can learn a lot from each other, and at the end of this panel, we can discuss what we can use from the experience under this planning period in the implementation of the program in the next one. Let us hope that the next 50 years would be equally successful. Yesterday, I attended a panel discussion titled What Do Citizens Want from the Countryside? And basically, the citizens want it to exist so that we can go there for recreation purposes. We can, of course, get our food from there and so on. But the important thing is that the village, the countryside, is the rural society is still in existence. So I'd like to ask Lučku to present to us the Bulgarian experience. He is involved in the local action group in three municipalities. There are 16 local action groups in Bulgaria, which were approved long ago. And now we have another 19, so the total is 35. They have their contracts in place. However, they're at a very early stage of their development. Lučko, however, has some experience before Bulgaria joined the European Union. He has some experience with pilot groups, so he can share his experience. In Bulgaria, the LAGs cover one, two, or even three municipalities. And right now, they cover a part of the rural area, but of course, not the whole territory of the countryside. So thank you, Marina. And good morning, everybody. I'll be very brief. Marina mentioned already that we are going to share experience, exchange experience. Unfortunately, there is no experience in Bulgaria, certainly no experience from LAGs and LAGs working under the leader approach. These LAGs are still being established and they're still planning their activities. I'll be brief and thus hopefully help the organizers in order to be on schedule. Yesterday I noticed that this was quite difficult, and there will be more time for the coalition Portugal and Malta, who have much more to say than we do. Let us talk about our LIG and the strategy of rural development, making rural life richer, and facilitating the development of the village community. Before I begin with my presentation, I'd like to call upon you tonight to watch the football game from the European Championship, and of course, keep fingers crossed, cheer for Portugal. So we wish them every success. Local Action Group Panagyurishte Strauche Lisicevo covers the area of three municipalities from the south central planning region, namely the municipalities of Panagyurishte, Strauche, and Lisicevo. Panagyurishte is the biggest municipality. You can see the red on the map, so you know where it is located. So the largest is Panagyurishte, the smallest is Strauche. You can see how far they are from the main cities of Bulgaria and Pazarjik, the regional center. To the north is a mountain area, to the south is the Thracian part of the Thracian plain. The population is 37,255 inhabitants and about 1,000 square kilometers is the surface of this area. And you can see a picture from Lisicevo on the screen. In this municipality, there are only villages, there are no towns. And here is a brief history. As we heard from Ms. Brakalova, this group was set up in 2006, that is before the beginning of this current programming period. The Swiss Agency for Development and Cooperation supported us and helped us draft our strategy, do the organization that is required in order to set up the LIG. We are registered in compliance with the Act on Legal Entities, non-profit legal entities, and at the time, 2006, 2007, we had the opportunity to work on several pilot projects. These pilot projects allowed us to accumulate some experience in terms of strategies, of the strategy for the local development. In 2009-2010, as you know, the only countries which implemented some preparatory measures for some kind of local policies were Bulgaria and Romania. They were beneficiaries to this these local measures projects, and then on the 13th of October we signed the tripartite agreement and started our work. A few words about the membership. So, the members of our local action group. It's a public-private partnership, as you know. So, there are public organizations, businesses, and the municipalities which make up the group. There is a general assembly with 79 physical persons, six sole traders, We also have 15 legal entities, the NGOs, the culture centers are also included here, the three municipalities and the six NGOs, apart from the six business organizations. So here is the organigram. The supreme body is the General Assembly. Then we have a board and a control council. This is according to our statutes. Then we have an executive manager, the chairperson of the board, and the commission to select projects. This is the most important body probably in the organization. So you're all familiar with this structure. You know how it works. The project management or project administration unit is made up of three experts, accountant, a technical assistant, and in our group we have an expert who is responsible for private measures and an expert for public measures. We have a division of labor, so to say. And this is the main goal of our strategy. It aims sustainable and integrated development of the region with varied employment and all based on the possibility to develop and complement the typical sectors in our region, which are rose growing and vineyards. So vineyards and roses are our typical sources of employment. And of course, we have our cultural heritage. The priorities comply with the main principles of the program for the development of rural areas. The first one is improve the typical agricultural activities, again, mainly in the area of growing roses and vineyards, improving the quality of life, development of tourism, and more varied economic activities. How would the strategy for local development give us opportunities to provide more varied life, to make life in the village more varied? The main areas of our efforts have to do with, first and foremost, improving the environment in our villages. You know that our villages are rather backward, both in terms of infrastructure, in terms of cultural life. There is something very specific for Bulgaria. It's an institution which is called Citalište. It's something like a cultural center, but no other EU member state has this type of institution. It's very typical and it's unique to Bulgaria. This institution keeps up the cultural life in our villages. Most of our projects are focused on the development of these culture centers, and we'll mention specific projects later on. Then the improvement of the quality of services in the village, services both aimed at the local population and businesses, attracting more tourists, then the measure for preserving local heritage. We, as LAGs, have the opportunity to implement activities in this field. We try to actively involve the population in local cultural initiatives and then create the appropriate environment for small businesses or small farmers to start up new businesses or add additional activities to their existing ones. The main measures which we use in the strategy are derived from the program itself, the Program for Rural Development. The first measure is 311. You see what the main objectives are, and I would only mention that at this stage We are now adopting, approving new projects and assessing them. They have not yet been presented to the paying agency. They have not been approved, and there are no contracts of any kind. And that's true of all the local action groups in Bulgaria. We have four projects that we have filed in, namely to build and equip guest houses and provide more varied services to the population and the businesses. On measure 313, which is incentives for tourist activities, we have 10 projects under this strategy. Four of them have been filed in already. These projects mainly aim at improving access to the natural sites, to the tourist sites of this area. We also have a project to set up a center for temporary tourist services. The measure for providing services to the local people and the economy. We have four projects as well. They are mainly focused on building sports facilities, the refurbishment and equipment for the social and culture institutions. And again, we are talking of these specific institutions, the Citadelište, which is very typical for Bulgaria, which is unique to this country. And this institution is which keeps up the social and cultural life in the village. So we must support them in any way possible and use any opportunities under the different measures to help these and support these centers. On measure 322, we have again four projects. Four have been filed out of eight. The measure, as you all know, aims at improving the infrastructure of the villages. As you can see, we plan to rehabilitate our parks, children's facilities, playgrounds, etc. And on measure 323, to preserve and improve cultural heritage, again, the beneficiaries are these culture and social centers. Out of the six projects which have already been filed in, five are for these cultural centers. The projects focus on old traditions and customs, presenting them to visitors, making the cultural life more active, and involvement of the local population in what we call rural life. I forgot to mention earlier that out of all these 27 projects which we have in place, 25 concern activities from the villages in this region, the area around Panagiurishte, Stroja and Lisiciu. So there are only two projects out of the 27 which will be implemented in Panagiurishte and Stroja, that means in the towns. So our project aims at making these villages more lively places, more attractive places for young people who have migrated to towns and the cities to come back to their roots. So thank you for your attention. If there are questions, I'll be very happy to try to answer them. And of course, I'll take part in the discussion at the end as well. I suggest that we hear all the presentations first and then have time for a discussion, please. If you have questions to Lucko, try to remember them and keep them for the end. Until, of course, you have a burning issue, an urgent question to ask. And now I'd like to give the floor to Claudia before we started the session. I heard some very interesting things from Claudia. She certainly has a lot of interesting things to share. First of all, her group is close to the big cities, which means that this link is appreciated, the link between the rural area and the city, and appreciated advantages. And then there is specific experience as to how to make the road from the producers to the markets shorter and how to provide benefits to all parties concerned. So you have the floor, Claudia.
Okay. Thank you very much. First, I would like to thank to the organization, the invitation to ADREPS. And I would like to begin my presentation with a movie about our territory, because for you, it's important to understand our work. It's important for you to see our territory. So I would like to. It's beautiful, isn't it? In the next holidays, please visit us. I think you are very pleased to look with in our territory. First, we have a lot of resources. We have natural resources, we have heritage, we have culture, we have a lot of good and quality products that I'm going to show you, because our strategy is based on this territory, because I think it's important for you to see. ADREPS, it's a very young association. We started in 2002, our goals is to promote the rural development of Peninsula de Setúbal, that is our territory, with the Leader Funds. We have the leader funds in the rural areas and also in the fisheries, because we are a lake and we are also a local development for the fisheries to promote the leader in the fishery areas too. So we work in the rural areas, but also in the fishery areas, because we have a lot of coast and a lot of fishermen and And so we respect the leader approach into the rural areas, and also and we promote also the leader approach in the fisheries. So our territory, we have a lot of potentialities, like I was telling you, and for us it's important to potential and to provide quality products and service, work in this particular area. Our strategy, I think it's important for you, I think you already know that the lakes work with the people. We know the problems of our territory, we know the potential of our territory, and now we work with people, and we define a strategy with our associates and with the local people. We have 20 associates. We mostly the public associations. Associates are the municipalities, the local university, the regional associations, and then in the private associates we have the agricultures. Associations, we have the forestry associations, we have people related with the social care and culture too. So we have a lot of entities that we work, that all of them know the specific areas from agriculture, social care, culture, enterprises, training, schools, education. So we have this all of entities. And I think this is the importance of the legs, because we work with these people and we define together our strategy. It's not only ad reps, it's not only the technician and the board, it's with all the association, with all the associates, and I think this is the most important. So we define our strategy. More with measures related to business, to economic areas, and other regarding the culture, the heritage, and the social care. As you can see, we are announcing the value of quality products and service, and developing tourism and complementary service in rural and natural environment. For the improving of quality of life through the conservation and valorization of the environmental, natural and cultural heritage, as well as the landscape, for us it's very important, and the qualification and the increased well-being of the local population. So we act as a center of rural and coastal development, and our strategy is based not only to know the territory, to know our difficulties, to know how we can improve our research, but also regarding the local and national programs, because I think it's important for us to have a strategy related with the national strategy and also with the regional strategy. So we based also in integrated action plan. Our area, as you can see, I don't know, it's here. Oh, here is Lisbon. We are in a very peri-urban area. Here is Lisbon, and here is Setúbal. They are two big cities, and our territory is this one. All right? This is a very urban area, and these two. And so our rural areas, it's here. That it gives us some particularities, because if you are in the peri-urban areas, it's different from the other lakes that are in the other parts of Portugal. Because we have some problems with the territory planning, with the manager of the territory, so this work we have to do it also with our associates, and in our strategy it's very important too. We work in six municipalities. There are Alcochete, Moita, Montijo, Palmela, Sesimbra and Setúbal. And we are surrounded with three important natural areas. We have two rivers, as you can see here. Here is one river, Tejo. And here it's another river that is Sado. So these are two important reserves, natural reserves here. And here we have a Rábida that is another important natural reserve. Most of the movie it's from a Rábida. This is one of our national treasures. And so that gives us also very specifics and very particulars of our territory. Most of our rural activities are developed in these natural areas. So we have also to manage this developing with the nature conservation areas, and this is also important for our strategy. This is some information about our territory. As you can see, we are in the peri-urban areas for the total service and the population density. And our mainly activities. We have a lot of good quality certified products. We have also a very good potential to develop other local and important service. We have a lot of traditional practices and tactics that it's important to preserve for the next generations. And for us it's important to promote the rural tourism too. It's very important for us to work with young people and to approve initiatives regarding the startups and to develop the micro, small and medium business. And for us to training the business training and to promote the formation of our beneficiaries, it's also very, very important. The principal resources, we have the wine, we have the cheese, we have fruits and vegetables, because we have near two rivers, so we have a lot of water in the territory, and so it's very good for the production of food for fruits and vegetables. We have three certified wines. We have the Setúbal denomination and Palmela denomination, and a regional denomination that he calls Peninsula de Setúbal. It's the name of the region. So we have a lot of sellers that are preparing to make some wine testing and to receive the visitants. And we have a lot of recognized national, international wines that they have a lot of awards, and it's very good for us too. We have the cheese, Azeitão cheese, that is also a quality product, and it's also certified. It's very good. Yesterday we have some of the cheese and some of the wines too. You can see they are very good. We have the fruit and vegetables, and for us here it's very important because some of our producers have a lot of difficulty to sell their productions to the supermarkets, to the markets. It's very hard to them to sell their products, and so with this specific producers, we work in the short supply chain. For us, it's very important. I'm going to present later a cooperation product that we have that it's a success, and so we work the producers to link to them, to the consumers, to families, and also to the restaurants and to the schools to sell directly their products to them. And so it's we have local varieties too in fruits and vegetables, that it's important to us to preserve these local varieties also. And we have arts and crafts, almost the ceramics, but it's also very important this handicraft for us, because it's one of our activities, and it's very important. Then we have the tourism, we have the walking, we have the tourism related to the horse riding, the walking, bicycles with the bike too, and this and in the coastal areas we have the windsurf, the scuba diving, and other tourisms. Now I'm going to show you some projects that we support to have an examples of our project. This is in the farm near Setúbal that calls Gambia, and they have a lot of activities because they are near the Sado River, the farm, and so they have a lot of bird watching activities related to ecological tourism, and so their project was a project to diversify these activities in the farm, and to stimulate the environmental interpretation, so people can go there, can taste their products from the farm, but they also can rest, they can stay in the couches, they can see the river, they can see the birds, and it was a project that the investment is over there, and they create two jobs with this project. Then we have another one that is in another action, in another measure, that is creation and development business. It's a young couple, they are professors, and they have a small farm. So they use the products, the fruits from the farm, and they create liquors and jams, liquors and marmalades. And it's very interesting because they use the production from the farm, but they also use, they buy other from other farmers. That it's very interesting because they have a network with all the local products to sell them, their production to produce the liquors and the marmalade. As you can see, they create four jobs, and they create a new product because they have families' recipes they use to produce the liquors and the jam. Now we have a measure related to heritage conservation. This is a church, it's a very typical church in our territory, and the project is to restore the church, and it's one of the most important measures too in our strategy. Now we have a basic service for the population. This is a project that is they build a library, and they have the also a social cultural equipment for the young people and for the old people, and to them to get together in this equipment. You know, they have the old people, and sometimes the young people from the schools go to the library. They talk with the old people. They have a lot of promotion experience with young and old people, and it's very interesting too. They create two jobs, and it's a very good investment also. So now I'm going to speak a little bit of leader cooperation, because it's very important for the leader groups, because it's allow us to innovate, to create methodologies, to create good practices, and to transfer these good practices to others, national and transnational level. And I think the leader cooperation is very important. I'm going to show you 2, 3, 4 projects. I don't know if I have time, but I would like to show you two. I would like to show you Prof, that is Promote and Sell, that is the project that I was told you, that is the supply and change between the producers and the consumers. It's an interterritorial project. It was a project that is begin with the legal equal fund, and now we create a methodology. And we are disseminate this methodology all over the country. And now we have the PROV project north and south of Portugal. It's very interesting. And I would like to show you a transnational project that it can be the European network of house, hotels and horse and riders with Spain, our colleagues from Spain, from Hungary, and from France and Portugal. We have four countries. So if I can show you the posts. Well, the PROV, some of our colleagues from the organization put some of them, the posters. You can see the posters that you have a very short discussion. This one? Okay. PROV, we work the. No, it's not that. No, it's this one. Okay. This is, yes. This is PROV, as you can see. It's a basket with fruits and vegetables that are sold directly to the families. The producers, they produce, they receive the orders. And they are going to a place, a local place, where they can meet with the consumers, and they can sell their baskets. It's a very interesting project because it allows us, the producers, to win the money without anyone in the change, you know, because they contact directly with the consumers and they speak with them. They see if they are okay, if they want some change, if they are happy with the basket, and they receive immediately the payment. That it's very important for the producers. Receive immediately the payment. They don't have to wait 1-2 months to receive the payment. This is very interesting. I don't know, I don't think we have here internet, but we have a website where the consumers go, they register, they order, and the producers receive an email with the orders, and now they know in the next week how many baskets they have to deliver to the consumers, and they are all sold. So it's very important for them. It was considered in February the project of the month by the European Commission. It was very good for us. And another, this is a national cooperation project with the other legs. And now we have other project. It's not this one. It's related with horse and with the tourist. We are trying to create a European network of house hotels for horse and riders, because sometimes people they come to countries like Portugal, Spain, Hungary, and they want to bring their horse and they want to stay with them in some touristics, local touristics, and now we are trying to create a network between these countries to develop this project. It's very nice too, and it's already created a very good methodology. And so just to end my presentation, I only want to talk about the future. I think for us, the legs, the European legs, I think it's important for the European Commission, don't forget one thing. First, we know the territory. We work with local people. We know what is our difficulties, what is our opportunities in the territory. We have the experience of managing and developed the European funds, and we have a very good trained people to do that. So I think it's important in the future to continue our territorial work, and so thank you very much, and please invite us and come to Portugal. Okay.
Lúcio каза че са млада територия. Клаудия каза че са.
Lúcio said they had a young territory. Claudia said they had a young territory. I guess it's all a matter of viewpoints. So long as you're ready to do something, you're ready to develop, you're young. But you need also to be brave, to be hardworking, to cooperate well with the managing authority and the national program. Certain things I noticed from Claudia's presentation, that we work with the people, we know the territory, and we have an integrated approach locally and integrated, of course, with the national plan. This is key in implementing the policy, which would certainly have an impact on the territory and outside the territory as well, as we just heard from the project, about the project with the products, the agricultural products. I do hope we can extend our panel a little bit longer, because the presentations are indeed very interesting. Now I'd like to give the floor to Tina from Estonia. The local action groups cover over 99% of the 90% of the territory, and this is this speaks for itself. It says enough as to how important this instrument is within the program for rural development. Estonia has 5 or 6 years already of local action groups, and Tina is the driving force or the brains of her group, so she's going to talk about it.
I'm really, really glad to be here, and thank you for the organizers for giving the opportunity to speak here with you today. I represent the local action group. Very good presentation right now about her local action group. I'm not going to speak so specifically about my local action group. I'm going to focus more about the peri-urbanization that is having impact on the areas and the whole Europe. And this is something that we should all consider when planning the next programming period. It works. But first I'm going to show you where Estonia is. My colleagues gave you yesterday a very good overview about facts about Estonia, how many people, everything, all the facts and figures, but this is the map that finishes this. Estonia in the world map, where it is very close to Finland, also border with Latvia. And the next one is where our lag is situated. As you can see, we are very, very close to Tallinn. The Tallinn is with the red light there, and the green area is all our lag. So we are very, very close to Tallinn. And our lag was founded in 2008, a bit later than most of the lags in Estonia. Our area is almost 1,000 square kilometers, and the population is 17,500 inhabitants. We have 4 municipalities in our LAC altogether, and we have 33 members at the moment. And now, moving on. The closeness of the Tallinn, this means that we are a peri-urban area. The city has very strong impact on our everyday life. From our area, it takes about 20 to 45 minutes to drive to Tallinn by car, depending on which part of our area you are. And about 30% of the people from our area, from our LAC, they work in Tallinn. Children go to school in Tallinn, so this demonstrates that Tallinn has really, really big part of our lives. And from now on, I'm going to concentrate more generally about the peri-urbanization, what it brings with us, and then what we should consider. Peri-urban, it means the space around urban areas, the outskirts of the city, containing settlements of less than 20,000 people. And the peri-urban areas now, according to the latest studies, they constitute an interface between 75% of European Union citizens. It's a really, really high percentage. And they even have this top 20 peri-urban areas. As you can see on the slide, the top 20 peri-urban regions are United Kingdom, Germany, Poland, and Belgium. And this high number, the 75%, it has brought us the peri-urbanization, the tendency that more and more people are moving to the cities and also to the outskirts of cities. And this is another trend that the French research has brought out, is that people who move to the outskirts of, sorry, my words are missing today, they want to both live in the city and they want to live in the rural areas. And about 85% of inhabitants in peri-urban areas today, they identify themselves as living in a rural area. They don't see themselves living in a peri-urban area or in the city, but they see themselves as living in rural area, in the countryside. So this means that people are understanding their rural life differently today. And this is something that we should consider when we are planning our strategies, when we are planning the next programming period. And to demonstrate the urbanization, how many people live in the cities, and also this affects how many people live this outskirts of the city, the peri-urban areas, I brought out the four countries that are organizing this event here today. In Malta, the statistics says that 91% of people live in urban areas, or also around urban areas. In Estonia, the percentage is 69, Bulgaria 67, Portugal 66. And it's said that about half of the world's population today live in cities. In 1800, only 3% of all population lived in cities. So now when we see these numbers, there is a need to respond to the economic, environmental, and territorial challenges that come with it, and faced by agriculture and rural areas today and in the future. And that we have this need to respond, the local action groups, the Europe, the countries, all of us. And also a fact that the peri-urban areas, there are quite a lot of them, and they have the same amount of built-up land as urban areas, but they're only half as densely populated, but not for long, I think. And now, the challenges that we are facing, one of them is that we need integrated rural-urban development. We cannot allow ourselves to see separately the rural areas and the urban areas. They are mixed together very strongly already today. And with the increasing welfare, changing lifestyle and consumption patterns, the peri-urban growth is most likely to continue. And the time has come to challenge the conventional distinction between urban and rural areas. And we need this holistic and territorially integrated perspective, and we need to shape the future European Union cohesion policy. And now a few challenges that I think our LAG is facing, and I think also most of the local action groups in peri-urban areas, also the Claudia's local action group, as Claudia said, that they are also close to big cities. One of the challenges is managing uncontrolled expansion, also called urban sprawl, that more and more people are coming from rural areas or even from other countries, to manage this somehow, to see that we can face this. People are coming, we need infrastructure, we need social structure to handle with all this. Then the challenge is to see city as a cooperation partner. The rural areas and the peri-urban areas, we tend to see city as an enemy. A city is something bad, it should be away from us. Actually, the city should be a cooperation partner for peri-urban areas and rural areas. Because city actually, it gives us jobs, it gives us culture, so we should see it as a cooperation partner. As Claudia brought out, the local action groups, we know the territory, we have experience, the local action groups should be used or could be used as mediators between community and public and private sector. Because local action groups, they are based already on three sectors. The local action groups know people, they know public sector, they know companies, and they can put them all together in the same room. So the local action groups should be used. And challenges for peri-urban areas to keep own services or to be depending on the city. There is no right or wrong answer with which one to choose. Every area decides themselves, but this is something that should be thought through very, very, very carefully. Now, as I can see from our area, the municipalities are thinking, should we keep our own high school, should we keep our own cultural houses, or maybe we should buy this all from the city because it's easier, maybe. And this is something to consider. Do we want our own? Do we want the city to give us everything? And both ways can be good, but it should be a decision based on facts, based on discussions. And now, few ethical challenges, or at least I saw them as ethical challenges. One of them is site marketing. All local action groups, all areas, they want to show themselves that our area is beautiful, we are so nice, please come to us, please move to us. But for peri-urban areas, there is also a tiny ethical question. Or we should think through, what do we want with this site marketing? Do we want more people to come to our area? Do we want them to come to live to us? Can we handle the masses moving to peri-urban areas? Do we want tourists? But if you want tourists, do we have something to offer them? And also, the ethical part of it, if peri-urban areas and urban areas, if we are marketing, saying that this is so beautiful, come live with us, what about rural areas? Are we drawing people away from the rural areas? Yesterday we heard many presentations, about 70% of presentation brought out that rural areas have to keep people from leaving. That we have to fight the depopulation in the rural areas. So if the peri-urban areas are doing the site marketing and throwing people away, this creates conflict. And as I said, we should see city as a cooperation partner, and also peri-urban and rural areas should also be partners. So this is the ethical question. How and for what purpose should we do the site marketing? The social stratification. This is in whole Europe, the social stratification, by this I mean that people are put in boxes, for example. It is more prestigious to live in peri-urban area, for example, in Estonia. Next to Tallinn, as I can maybe take this map for a second. As you can see, there are some municipalities that have direct border with Tallinn. They are considered in some, or by some people, more prestigious place to live. That people who live there are somehow better. There is some This is the reality. But this also creates the social stratification, and this should also be considered and managed somehow. And to see how our area is seen. What do we want people to think about our area? And limiting in-migration. This goes with the previous slide that managing uncontrolled expansion. Also, there is no right or wrong solution, but I have one very good example from Norway. When I went for a study visit, there they had one municipality had it very well under control. They had a certain limit of houses that could be built every year. It was under 100. It was quite few houses that could be built in this municipality. And also there was a limit how many houses or the land could be sold every year, sold and bought. So they had very strict limits, and the purpose was exactly to control this in-migration, to control this expansion of people, because they wanted to be sure that they can offer infrastructure, they can offer services for people who live there. So these are the challenges I see in front of peri-urban areas and as 75% of European Union inhabitants live in peri-urban or urban areas. This is a challenge for quite a lot of European people and areas. And the main challenge, as I can see, for peri-urban areas is keeping own identity. It is very easy to lose your own identity in peri-urban areas. So many people coming in all the time. The community changes all the time. So keeping your own identity, your own values, traditions of the area, this is quite tough. This is a challenge. So I wish you good luck with all the challenges facing our area, your area. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Tina, for this different perspective, different viewpoint on local action groups and the leader approach to development of rural areas. What I was that the approach and the local action group is simply a tool. It's not an end in itself. It's only a tool towards change. And only after very carefully understanding the goal of this change, this tool can be a careful consideration. Careful thinking out of the strategy and the direction is key. So including those who can make the difference and who would feel the change is, of course, key. Now, Marisa, Local Action Group, Malta, is our last speaker. So she will say whether her group is young or not. And just as Bulgaria's group was set up recently, probably you have more experience, more projects to share with us, Marisa, and perhaps you can also outline the challenges that you're faced with, then we would be able to discuss them. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. I thank you also for the invitation. It has been a very positive experience for us and for me and for my colleagues from Malta. Basically, my presentation will be dealing with the challenges for the Maltese rural community. Okay. And the work of us as a new leg to help our rural society. All legs in Malta are practically new. If the others were new, we are babies because we were formed in 2010. And we've been working from then to try and implement our strategy in the best way possible. This is a short introduction about the Maltese islands. Basically, by now, we've understood that Malta is a very small island. an archipelago of islands covering over 316 kilometers squared, and the population is about 415,000. One of the major pillars in its economy is tourism. It is internationally known as a tourist destination with numerous recreation areas and historical monuments. We have a lot of culture and history in our island. Now there are a number of shots to give you a very good picture of Malta, and with special emphasis on our rural area. So that's basically it, in a nutshell, what Malta is. As well, we invite you to visit us. I'm going to start with a small introduction about farming before Malta and the changes brought about by time, basically. Farming before Malta, there was arable land dependent on winter rainwater, and irrigated land was limited to localities with natural fresh springs. Traditional farming methods included crop rotation, seed conservation, the growing of local crops, and keeping farm animals for food supply. With decades, we have encountered a number of changes in the farming. And the changes were quite rapid because of mechanization, as in other member states, I can imagine. Machinery took over the job of mules and animals, and manual work as well. There was the introduction and the utilization of drip irrigation, greenhouses, importation of seeds and plants, and basically we lost a lot of our traditional methods in farming and agriculture, and even some of our indigenous crops. This meant that there were more intensive farming methods, more efficiency, which led to less workers on the field. Less people were encouraged to work in farming because, and basically what happened is that there was a rural depopulation. People moved from the rural areas to urban areas, and they concentrated more on the production and services industry. And there was less reluctance in general for the rural community to be involved in the agricultural sector. This led to structural problems as well. We have a big problem of land fragmentation, even because of the law of inheritance, where, for example, old farmers leave pieces of land to their sons, and so the land, little by little, has become defragmented. How did all these changes in the agriculture affect the rural society and the environment? Now we have a totally different rural landscape. Many of the land has been abandoned, so there is the necessity to rehabilitate it and to make use of it for maybe in other ways and means. We have very little, if no, sheep rearing. Intensive farming in low fertile valleys. Dilapidated rural structures and farmhouses, that are recreational areas, recreational structures which need to be rehabilitated as well. And there is the tendency over the last 10 years to renovate farmhouses and turn them into residential luxury units. So I'm gonna give a brief overview of who we are. We are the Maestro Election Group Foundation. We represent 16 localities, 16 rural localities in the northwest area of Malta, with a population of 124,000. We represent SMEs, volunteer organizations, NGOs, municipalities, basically all the legs were formed in 2010. And there is the Galschlock as well, where Dr. Philip von Brockdorf gave a presentation about it yesterday, which represents the southern part of Malta. And then there is another local action group, which takes care of Gozo and Comino, which are the other two islands in the Maltese archipelago. Our target groups include municipalities, SMEs, farmers, craftspersons, music and culture, youths, women, environment, and tourism. This is our territory. As you can see, we cover most of the rural localities in Malta. And then you have the eastern part, which is basically considered as urban, and the southern part, which is governed by Galschlock. We have a different locality. Our rural localities are quite different, even one from the other. You have localities which are more of peri-urban rather than rural, and there are localities like Imjar which have a high population of farmers and a rural environment. So what we are doing as a MAGF, I'm going to concentrate mostly on the actions and measures which are targeting, trying to target the problems encountered with the changes in the farming methods, in farming which brought about certain problems in our territory. Basically, we have Measure 313, which we have launched in March 2010. Five projects have been adjudicated under this measure. Four will be implemented by the municipalities and one by a small medium enterprise. And through this measure, we are trying to rehabilitate abandoned and agricultural land and open area spaces into recreational areas. For example, one of the local councils, the project that they will be implementing will be to rehabilitate an area and turn it with special emphasis into a recreational area for bird watching and stargazing experiences. Another municipality will rehabilitate another area, sort of a very small forest, into a camping site. And then there is the SME who is going to create agro-touristic experiences on the farmland that it owns. In this manner, we are trying to, apart from restoring all these abandoned and neglected agricultural land, we're trying also to strengthen the economy of the result of the other sectors that operate in the area, because effectively, by implementing these projects, by doing this recreational areas, more people will be encouraged to come to these villages. And the other sectors, such as the crafts sector, will obviously have their business stimulated. In parallel, we'll be strengthening also awareness of the fragility of our natural assets and importance of the sustainability of our environment. Action 413.5, which was created under Measure 410, where through this action we'll be creating, I think, the first network for not only for our territory, but also for the Maltese islands. We'll be creating a rural tourism network, which basically will have different functions. This action was open to any form of legal entity who would like to manage on-farm rural experiences. Through this section, we are trying to even help farmers to earn additional revenue, because people will be coming on farms. They will be experiencing different methods of production, and they will be experiencing different rural aspects, and basically a farmer, apart from only, you know, when working the land, will be generating additional revenue through these on-site visits and also through the direct selling of the products to the end users. We think that the section will also help to reverse current trends and will even stimulate new farmers to come to start operating in the agricultural sector. As maybe you have heard, we have only 10% of our farmers which are under the age of 40. The rest of the farmers are over 40 years of age. And so for us, encouraging new farmers, new young farmers to come into this sector is very important. We also want to increase the interest in the production of local products, also because to combat the problems of obesity, which is existing nowadays throughout the member states and even specifically in Malta. And we want to increase the appreciation of farming and rural issues and increase the awareness about the value of the agricultural sector and its contribution towards the environmental issues. Basically, we think that the audience out there doesn't really appreciate effectively the importance of agriculture, the importance of farming, the hardships that this sector encounters during every day-to-day life. So by bringing them on the farm, by showing them the work, their contribution to the economy through this section, we hope to increase the awareness of the importance of the sector. We have another action envisaged for December, the 7th, 8th and 9th December this year, where we'll be creating a culinary and crafts festival with also a touch of arts and culture, where we are going to create a show window for all the products and produce for the Maestral territory. There will be crafts products, products for agroalimentary products, produce from farmers. Through this action, we want to promote the whole territory in all its totality. But we also want to create synergies between the farmers and the end users, be it hotels, restaurants, catering establishments, with the aim also of, we want to start working on the short supply chains. So this will be a way how to link the end users and the primary producers. Not only in the farming aspect, but also for the craft sector, for example. We will also be working with other local action groups. We started discussions this year in May when there was the transnational cooperation meeting in Brussels, where we are discussing a possible collaboration with other local action groups from England, from Estonia, from Italy, from France, where we are inviting them to come for this festival, so that we do not only promote the products and the whole aspect of the Maestral territory locally, but also on an international basis. What else do we do apart from these actions? We have other actions that are targeting the craft sector, because in our region the craft sector is quite prominent, and unfortunately they are facing problems as well because of importation of mass-produced, not genuine products. So we're helping them by supporting them to improve the quality of their products, to reduce the productivity costs, and to enhance the marketing of their products. We're supporting also arts and cultural societies, and we have a lot of band clubs in our country, which are very strong, a very strong part of our culture, and they offer even alienation. They alienate our community. They offer a means of recreation to our community, and so we're helping them even for capital investment. And also we are supporting our natural assets and environment. How we have one action, another action, which will be founding a foundation of territory rangers, who will have the responsibility of educating about the environment, of managing the recreational areas created under Measure 313, of creating more an awareness about the fragility of our assets, a number of different roles all associated to the environmental aspect. This is, in a nutshell, who we are. Those are our details. We are very enthusiastic. All three legs are very enthusiastic about implementing the LEADER program. It is our first experience, and we strongly believe that it will have very positive results, and that through the LEADER program and the other measures we are implementing will be improving the quality of life. We're all the time discussing with the managing authority to obviously try and give our input also for the common agricultural policy, for the eventual laying down of the rural development program. As Marina said, the LEADER program, the legs are a tool towards improving the quality of life of the rural localities, and for us this is the main important aspect of it all. Thank you for your attention.
This is a very interesting session, and we all feel like going on holiday right away, having seen all these nice photographs. There are local action groups in all the presentations which demonstrate the different possibilities. We see that in Malta, the group is made up of 124,000 people, unlike other countries where not more than 10,000. So we need to constantly keep in mind the fact that besides the local level, there is also a national level. And this too is equally well appointed for implementing at the national level. We would not like to deprive you of your coffee. So because we're running late, I suggest you ask your questions to the speakers during the break. But I would like to ask for your comments, specifically comments from those of you who are not directly involved in local action groups. So what are your comments on the use of these LAGs as a tool to implement the common agricultural policy, or comments on what we just heard? We should take advantage of the fact that we are here together, and after all, the session should not be limited to presentations only. I'm sure you've been thinking about this during the session. Perhaps some of the younger groups or newer member states? No? No comments? You were listening very attentively. Are there any comments from the speakers? If I may, I would like to say something which falls between a comment and a question. In all the presentations, there was, so to say, a red line, a red thread, that it is so important to create new business opportunities on the territory through the LAGs. And again, in all the presentations, we heard that crafts, typical crafts and arts, are being revived, are being promoted. And what I was wondering was whether the craftsmen can earn a living in this way. Is this sufficient? Is it a sufficient source of income? Is it a business opportunity at all? Could all the speakers share their views on that? Because our view and our experience shows, when we travel around the country, when we talk to people, we see that they simply can't earn a living. They are not strong enough. So a question to all the speakers. How can this opportunity, this niche, perhaps improve the standard of living and the quality of life of the craftsmen? Then perhaps we should follow the same order. Our local action group covers a territory which is well known for its crafts. Back in the 18th and 19th century, this was the case. As you know, Panagiuriste is known for its carpets, jewelry, making, goldsmith, blacksmith, shoemaking. These were the crafts which were very well developed in the 18th and 19th century. But in the 50s of the last century, these crafts started phasing out. So in our strategy, our group plans to provide support to crafts, specifically in this field, to recover, revitalize these crafts, hire, let's say, a small workshop where this can be done. Unfortunately, we are confronted with a lot of difficulties. Sadly enough, the old craftsmen are no longer there. There is no one who has this knowledge. The second thing is that, and you're right, they can't earn a living in this manner. They simply can't. We'll try, we'll make an effort for, let's say, carpet weavers to help them as much as we can. Most of you know that the National Theater in Sofia has a curtain. This is the formal curtain which was woven in Panagiuriste. In Panagiuriste, this curtain shows a phoenix and a phoenix bird, and it was woven in this town in Panagiuriste. So we'll try to support this kind of these crafts. So at least the craftsmen who are still there, who are still alive, we would like to help them transfer their knowledge, their skills to the younger generation. And we hope to be able to do that through our measures. However, we must be clear that this is not a business. You can't live on your income from crafts, at least in our territory. За нас в Португалия един от проблемите е
from China and India. They copy our design and they produce in a much lower price the craft and then they send to Portugal. And so people buy that craft more more cheaper, and they don't realize that sometimes it's not the real one. This is one work we have to do it. We have to promote our handcraft, our artisans, and to say to people that buy that this is better because this is made with the local workers. It's not children that made this. This is made with local workers. They use our materials. They use our traditional way to do it. Then the second problem is they have to use new technologies. They have to modernize because they use always the same design. They use always the same. They always made the same things. And you know, the consumers, the market want new things. So they have to. This is one of the works that we are trying to do with the people, with the enterprises, is to have training for them, for them to understand that they have to make new things. They have to use traditional ways, but they have to do new things because the market wants new new craft, you know. The third things that they have to understand the market. They have to talk with the consumers. They have to understand what they want. They have to know to put the right price in the craft to understand the market. We are in our lake. We work a lot with the people to understand, they have to use new technologies, they have to modernize their work, and they have to understand the market. And we have training for the, for these people, because we have a national entity that has they promote a lot of training in the with the people that do the craft. So we establish with them a training program annual, and they can learn new technologies, they can learn how to do different the way that they work using the traditional ways. So this is what we are going to do and what we are done with this this I think it's the way.
In Estonia, there is the same problem that small craftsmen they cannot survive. They cannot earn living with their work usually. In our lag, we have tried a solution though to put them work together. The cooperation actually is the key. And if we're speaking in European context, I think Austria is a really good example of cooperation. The craftsmen, they need to come together, maybe form an NGO or organization to help them with all the bureaucracy. Because usually the person who can make really beautiful carpet or ceramics, he or she is not a specialist on accounting and contracts, and he's not a marketing specialist, and he cannot be. They need help, but of course one small workshop, they cannot hire all this personnel. So they need to come together, join their forces, and then comes the sustainability.
The same problems here, and we have a very high importation of crafts products from China, imitation of crafts products. Basically, we as a LEG, one of our main target groups is also the craftspeople. But we also think we will be helping them in various manners, as I said, by even helping them in investing, capital investment, by buying new machinery to improve their production, by also funding marketing initiatives to help promote their products. But I think as a LEG, it's not only a question of financing of projects, but we also have to work with the local authorities to start enforcing more controls on products being sold as Maltese. In Malta, we have also a Malta Craft Council, which used to operate, has stopped operating, but we are pushing for it to start operating as well. And there are discussions to start working on a crafts policy, which should help the craftspeople as well. We have a mixture. We have craftspeople who are actually making a living out of crafts, but we also having craftspeople striving to survive. We have the advantage that most of our municipalities, when they organize activities in their locality, they always involve these craftspeople. So in a certain way, they give them exposure, and we see that there is quite good feedback from the community, from tourists that are interested in seeing how local crafts products are made. But it is a continuous battle. It is a continuous battle against the imitation products. They will be, they are our target group. We need to help them for the next strategy, because when you are laying down a strategy in a local action group, I think it's not only the work does not only come in at the point when you have to start working on the strategy, but it is a continuous process. So in the meantime, we are listening to their needs. For example, a particular need which we see is that they need to be trained on business planning, because sometimes they are very short-sighted, sort of, they don't look long-term. So maybe in the next strategy, we will try and offer training to the craftspeople to plan on a longer term the business. That's basically it.
And perhaps we should revitalize the guilds of craftsmen. Perhaps we should be thinking about that. These are not easy issues, and there are no clear answers, no easy answers. Let us try to sum up. This panel has been really very, very interesting, but we took much more time than we were allotted. This tool for local development, based on the territory, based on the needs of the territory, involving all three sectors in the local action groups, should be used in the future. We should continue using it because it is an extremely important component of the common agricultural policy. It will make the link between rural and urban territories stronger. The local action groups are the mediator between public and private partners, and they bring about the change. Crafts cannot be revived by drafting some kind of document at the national level. It can only be done locally. So we need to work at the sector level, at the local policy level. I'd like to thank you all. It was a great pleasure to be together. It was a great pleasure to learn from your experience. I wish you every success, not only today, but in your exchange of experience once we finish this panel.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.